really in an area called the Galilee, which is kind of the northern part of Judah. And he's going about, and he's going on essentially on a teaching tour. He goes from little village to village, and he'll go and he'll go to the synagogue and teach on that synagogue morning and or a Sabbath morning and exposit on the scriptures. And we can assume, too, as we read later on in the passage and into Luke, that as Jesus is going around, he's also performing miracles. And he's in all of this, he's making a real name for himself. And eventually, he finds his way to his hometown of Nazareth, which scholars think was maybe just a village of 400 to 500 people at best. And there in Luke, we have Christ's first recorded sermon or teaching in the Gospel of Luke. As he goes to the synagogue on that Sabbath morning, he goes in and an attendant hands him a scroll from the prophet Isaiah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. And Jesus from it reads from Isaiah 61. And after he's done, he rolls up the scroll, he gives it back to the attendant, and he sits down, which is kind of the posture of the rabbi as they begin to teach. And Luke tells us that all eyes are fixed on Jesus with eager anticipation for what this teacher is going to say. And they're eager because they know this passage that he's read. It's a common passage. It's a passage that they know to be about the Messiah. They want this Messiah. They've been yearning for the Messiah to come, God's chosen and anointed one. They've been waiting with eager anticipation. And this new teacher who's one of them, who has been making a name for himself, is now going to tell them about this passage. And this passage, it tells us what the Messiah's mission would be, and this is a mission they've been waiting for. And so Jesus gives this short little teaching, which I bet you all wish I would do too. Just sit down and give seven words and shut up and be done, and you'd be happy, you'd be on your way out the door. But that's not the case. Jesus simply says, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And as he says this, the congregation kind of erupts in confusion and surprise and wonder. They're marveling at the words that Christ is speaking because he is clearly talking about himself. In no uncertain terms, Jesus says, "This passage is about the Messiah, and I am he." And as he sits and as they wonder, he reads the room and he knows the hearts of those who are in front of them. And he knows what they want. What they want is miracles. It's what they've heard. They want miracles because, well, they just want them and maybe they need them, but they also want miracles because they want some proof. They want to see what this Messiah is going to be about. See, when they hear this message from Isaiah and they read this verse and they know this passage, they see themselves. And they see in Isaiah a fulfillment of their needs. They know themselves to be poor and oppressed by the world around them. Rome is the conquering people of the day. They are subjects to Rome, even though they live in the Holy Land, the land that God has promised to them. They suffer. They want to be free. They want to be better. And who better to bring this freedom to them than a man who can multiply loaves, who gives sight to the blind, who gives mobility to the lame, and a clean bill of health to the leper. They want miracles. But Jesus refuses. He does no miracles before them that day. And it's simply because their vision of the Messiah conflicts with the Messiah he is going to be. In fact, Jesus stirs the pot a little bit about telling about two great prophets from the Old Testament, Elijah and Elisha, who essentially left the Holy Land to go into and amongst Gentiles and performed miracles there because there was no faith amongst the Israelites. When Jesus says this, their impression about him changes completely, and they actually try to take Jesus and throw him off a cliff. There's a ridiculous Will Ferrell movie called Talladega Nights, The Ballad of Ricky Bobby. It's a comedy about a successful kind of top of his game NASCAR driver named, of course, Ricky Bobby. And in this movie, there's this scene where Ricky Bobby is sitting at a table with a bunch of his family. His wife is there, his father-in-law, his two sons, and his friend Cal. And they're about to partake of a feast of fried chicken and Wonder Bread and all sorts of other kind of fast food kind of things. And Ricky Bobby, being kind of the leader of the household, sits down to pray before they have this meal. And he opens his prayer by saying, "Dear Lord, baby Jesus." And later on in the prayer, he goes, "Dear tiny infant Jesus." And over and over again, he's praying to baby Jesus. And his wife calls him out on this and says, "You know, sweetie, Jesus eventually did grow up." And to this, Ricky Bobby replies, "Well, look, I like the Christmas Jesus best when I'm saying grace. We have a certain image of what the Messiah should be, of what Jesus should be. And for many in our world, Jesus is simply a baby. He's a Messiah born in a manger. He's cute. He's cuddly. He radiates peace. And what's more is he doesn't ask for anything from us. He's just a little miracle, a miracle that we only have to come and worship once a year. We get to sing our favorite songs, and we get to light candles." For many throughout Christendom, that's who Jesus is. We want a Jesus who blesses us. We want a Jesus who heals disease, who grants good weather, and then scampers off until we need him again. We don't want a Jesus who's going to be around to remind us of our prejudices, our sinful desires, whatever else we might be convicted of. We just want a crutch to get us through the hard times. What we don't want is a Jesus who is going to accost us, who is going to ask something of us, who might even attack us, who surgically exposes our sin, the poverty we have, not as poor people in a world, but as poverty of spirit, who exposes the captivity of our soul that is captive to our own sinful flesh and desires. We don't want a Jesus who shows that we are blind in our hearts, or that we are oppressed not only by our own sinful nature, but place oppression upon others. We don't want a Jesus who is going to say, "Take up your cross and follow me. Suffer as I suffered." We don't want a Jesus who does that. We don't want a Jesus who later on in Luke will say, "I did not come to bring peace, but division." Division because there are some who will believe in me, some who will not, and the two will be divided, even in families. We don't want that kind of Messiah. But this is who Jesus is. Yes, He will heal, he will cure, he will free people from the physical oppressions of the day. If you continue reading in Luke's gospel, the very next passage, he's healing all sorts of people. He's feeding them. He's doing the miracles. He will do the things that people suffer and heal people from the sufferings of this physical world. Sometimes. But these mercies that Jesus will grant, they're just signs. They're just glimpses of the greater mercy he will grant in his own suffering for us. Just as our need for healing in the first place is just a symptom of our greater disease. Christ's own people don't want this kind of a Jesus, so they try to throw him off a cliff. But here, Jesus actually performs the miracle they were asking for. He mysteriously slips through their fingers and he gets away because it's not his time. Eventually, his time will come, right? And he'll go to the cross. And in killing Jesus because he's not the right kind of Messiah, they'll find, and we'll find, the Messiah we actually need. By his death, by his resurrection, the sinner experiences true and full release and is invited to hope in the time that will come when all captivity, all bondage of every kind will be thrown down. Faith is not easy. Our Messiah asks much of us. The Spirit will convict us of sin. It's not easy to bear, but it is all for freedom. The Lord desires to always give freedom to those things which bind us. O Lord, give us sight, that we would not be blind to the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, nor blind to our sinful soul's need for him. Amen.